Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of How We Scaled, brought to you by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. And of course, I am your host, Rye Russell, and I'm always so excited about the entrepreneurs that we get to connect with here on How We Scaled, because there's so many different ways to start and grow a business. And it really comes down to the incredible entrepreneurs that we get to talk to. And today, Harpal, I am so honored that you have joined us here on this show to talk about some of the businesses and some of the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. I'm excited to talk to you and to your audience.
Well, Harpal, I would love to start and learn a little bit more about you, because so many of our entrepreneurs, we get them at a moment in time, but we know that there was so much before this moment that led to you becoming the entrepreneur that you are. And so I would love to learn a little bit about your journey and what brought us here together today.
Yeah, of course. Hopefully I can capture that in less than a couple minutes. But in a nutshell, I've been an entrepreneur for the last 15 years, spanning over three companies, had a very successful exit, and all three companies are bridged together in the way that I'm building software. So currently based in Silicon Valley, the first company started when I was 22 in my dorm room out of college, and bootstrapped all together, and all the focus that we were doing there, it was a company called Careerify. And Careerify was really trying to focusing on empowering every employee to become a recruiter. Because when you think about it, employees know other really great people, but the challenge around that is they don't know what jobs are open in their company. And sometimes people that are not top of mind that are really qualified for that role. And Roy, what we ended up doing is we ended up creating a product and a software that would tap into their Facebook, their LinkedIn, their Twitter, and be able to say, you know, the person that you went to school with 10 years ago, or maybe you found them in a conference 6 years ago and touched base on them, they're qualified for that role that is open in your company. Why don't you refer them? And it was an automated mechanism that we built, and obviously had a lot of trials and tribulations in between the 6.5 years. But the end was, though it was a bootstrap company, we grew that to 250,000 users with Fortune 500 companies like Deloitte and Microsoft and Unilever, SpaceX, using all of our products. We sold that to LinkedIn in 2015, then did a couple of years at LinkedIn and Microsoft in the product management space, building products for them. And just recently dove into my next foray with Magical, which is really focused on automating soul-crushing, destroying tasks that everyone has. You know, the mundane stuff that we do repetitively. I'm sure every person has had that moment where they ask themselves, why can't a computer do this? So that's essentially what we're trying to solve here at Magical. So that's essentially kind of like an arc of, I would say, about 12 years or so spent in maybe 1 or 2 minutes.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that journey with us, Harpal.
Yeah, my pleasure. Where do you want to dive in?
Well, let's see. There's a lot that we're going to break into today. As somebody that's always looking at the tasks of the day and trying to prioritize them, I'm very curious of what you can share about this new project, Magical.
Yeah. The gist of it is kind of coming back to kind of like the ethos that I've been able to inherit and learn from my mentors, which is we should always focus on kind of like the 80-20 rule. So if we're really strong in one or two things, let's focus a lot of our time and attention in those areas. and all the other tasks that we may not be great at or we're good at, but we just don't want to do, we want to automate them. And there's different ways of automating them, right? One is we get people to work for with us and with us to ultimately have them do it. We can outsource it or we can use technology to help shave off time or maybe automate the entire process. And what we're doing at Magical is very simple. We have very repetitive tasks that end up happening on a day-to-day basis. You know, we're in sales as an example, maybe we're in recruiting, maybe we're doing administrative work where we have to do a little bit of rote work. We go to a website, we get someone's information, we then put them into a system or spreadsheet, we then send them an email, we then do follow-up emails, and then we start that process over and over again. And for me, I looked at that and said, well, there is a very important part of humans to be part of that loop. However, a lot of the other things we can kind of automate itself. So what Magical does is it kind of is similar to Google or Alexa, where it's kind of in the background. And then the moment that Rai does something, it's like, ah, I've seen you do this. Can I do this for you? And you try it out. And if it does it, great. You now all of a sudden have automated that process for you. And that's essentially kind of what Magical does in a nutshell.
That's amazing, because for the entrepreneurs that are tuning in, and for example, on my one of my personal pages, I had posted a funny video this weekend of, you know, a member of my team comparing my schedule to untangling 100 headphone cords. And this was a riot. And then so many of my friends and peers just replied to us, be like, what a genuine, authentic moment, because this happens every day in business. And you can't necessarily record yourself every day, all day long on what it is that you do and then fire that off to a VA somewhere and hope they know how to replicate that. So that's incredibly powerful. And do we get any secret insights to when a product like this might launch?
Yeah, we are launching sometime in the near future. If people will go to getmagical.com, they can submit their email and they'll be on a wait list that's growing hundreds by the second, so to speak, which has been really great.
And I think it's going to grow more today, Harpal, because I know I'm going to sign up for that. And I know probably quite a few people listening today had an aha moment of this is something we need. So thank you so much for sharing that. And we will definitely join your wait list.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Now, Harpal, I want to ask you about the business that you scaled and then eventually were a part of this successful exit with LinkedIn, and go back to being in your dorm room. I mean, what was your plan when you first started executing? Did you know that this is the outcome or where you wanted to go? Or how did you look at the potential of scaling that business?
Yeah, those are great questions. And I would say in a nutshell, absolutely not. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I think it was, you know, part age, part lack of experience, part being a naive, but I can kind of equate it back to this feeling, which is I think every entrepreneur gets, which is that feeling when you first create a website and you get your first email address and that newness kind of absorbs you in a way where you feel like people will automatically start sending you hundreds of emails or they'll, you know, your website's going to be visited by thousands of people. And then a week, a month or quarter, or sometimes even a year later, you ask, like, where are all the people? You know, I had that same experience. And, you know, when you're trying to, when you think when you build a product or service, you just think people will just come naturally. So you do the normal thing that you hear, which is like spending dollar money on ads, you know, write a few articles because you hear, you know, online, you have to do inbound marketing. You know, you do a common, you hire a salesperson, right? Because you haven't sold anything in your business, but this person's going to be able to really, you know, be able to kind of catapult your business. And I did this for about 2.5 solid years of just kind of trying different things. And ultimately, I was 8 days from going bankrupt before kind of turning it around. And the thing that I often found was I tried a whole bunch of things that are tried, tested, and true, and it just never clicked, right? And, you know, naturally, when I, you know, in hindsight, you know, if I had a look back at the 6 years of doing the startup that I built, I probably could have done it in like 2 years had I acquired all that knowledge, but hindsight's 20/20, right? But I think just like every entrepreneur that starts for the first time or even the second time around or third time, like I have, you know, you start off with the newness, you try different a few things here and there, and it just doesn't work. And it's the mastery of continually iterating until you start to kind of get a little bit more momentum and it starts to pick up more and more.
Well, and it's when you said that, as an entrepreneur myself, it really, really hits home, because I think so many of us can look at different projects that, you know, maybe we had an exit after 4 years or 6 years or seven. And I think almost always you look back and reflect on those and say, wow, if I had done this one thing on this timeline sooner, it would have changed everything. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but you can't help as an entrepreneur say, this is that moment. And so often I feel like it comes in the last 72 hours of cash flow, because there's nothing. When your back's up against the wall, there's only two things you can do. You can close it down, or you can find that one thing. And so I was curious, you know, can you share, do you know like what that pivotal moment was that took it from bankruptcy to becoming something that could be acquired?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think I've reflected on this many times. And I think a key moment happened maybe about 60 days before, or, you know, 2 months left before kind of having to close down. And if I ended up bankrupting, given that I was a bootstrap company, the only line of loan that I ended up getting, or I got, was from my father, who was an immigrant, and he got that loan from a mortgage. So we would have lost the house that myself, my dad, and my mom were living in. So stakes were really high. I think They just kind of amped up on a continual basis. And as it went from 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, I was sitting in one of my mentors' his office, and he kind of was just like, I was telling him about this ordeal, and he was just like, what are you doing? Like, get out there and just like work. And the subtle message that he kind of said to me, because he was like, let's kind of unwind a little bit. And I think this is really great, is to have someone to kind of anchor yourself on, like, just like an optimization on a week by week basis. So we kind of reflected my last like week that of work that I did. And he was just like, why are you talking to investors? Right? Because I was hoping and praying that, you know, if I had, you know, an investor give me 50,000, 100, 500,000, or whatever the numbers were at that time, that I would magically be able to kind of like get into to extend the runway and be able to grow. And he said that, why would an investor put money in something that's going to go bankrupt in 2 months? And I think that question really hit home, and I was chasing the wrong thing. I was, instead of chasing investors, I should have been chasing my customers, you know, 5-10 hours a day versus investors that would, or banks that would help me kind of finance this. So I think it really kind of brought me back into the ultimate goal in building a business, which is driving revenue and driving profitability, versus sometimes the kind of other things that, and priorities that people push upon you, such as building more growth, building more PR, that ultimately might become a influence in building more of your business, but can become a distraction in that point in time.
Those are incredible points, Hart Paul. Thank you. Because so many entrepreneurs, all of our mentors are directing us with, you know, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this. And so often I think we don't know how to channel that and funnel that into action. And so I would say I speak to is equal the amount of people that chase investors when they should have been chasing customers. And then on the other side, people that are chasing more customers but haven't necessarily fulfilled this customer base that have already kind of expressed, well, hey, we're interested. and now you need the capital to serve them. Where, and sometimes you get those, you know, salespeople that are entrepreneurs, like, oh, I can sell more and then we'll get the capital and then we can do this. And then sometimes you have the other side of, well, we need more money. And if we had more money, and it's like, well, do you know how many MVPs you could have between what you think you need to introduce to the market and what could actually be introduced to the market?
Yeah, I think that's completely right. You need to have the right balance, and that balance changes. It's a fluid kind of relationship when it comes to revenue and getting additional capital to kind of put fuel on that fire, so to speak. And if you don't do it properly, you might over-index and just burn the company altogether down because you're not ready to scale. And on vice versa, if you just focus on, you know, the day-to-day and your customers, yes, you're going to drive higher NPS or better CSAT, better kind of satisfaction for your customers. But at the end of the day, you might be doing a service by kind of only being in the weeds and not looking at it from a macro level as well.
Amazing. Well, Harpal, I'm really excited that you were able to make the time for all of us today. This has been incredible, and I'm excited to have been able to connect and learn more about your journey up to today. And I'm really excited to follow your journey going forward, because when I think of tools and resources for our community here of the How We Scaled show, something like Magical, I know, is something that all entrepreneurs, as you were speaking, were saying, yes, when is this going to be ready and how do we participate? So before we conclude today, Harpal, I would love for you again to just drop those links of where we can go and get on this wait list, but then how we can connect with you and follow you more as well.
Yeah, I mean, my life goal is to help entrepreneurs continue to grow, and I'm not looking for anything in return. So my biggest ask is, yeah, it'd be great if you could, you know, start to use our product. It's completely free. Try it out, getmagical.com. But first and foremost, if there's anything that I could be helpful with, whether it's, you know, you're a couple months away from running out of cash, so to speak, and you're looking to kind of just have a resource to kind of talk to kind of wake you up, or conversely, it's to kind of like thinking about scale of going from like a couple of customers to a couple hundred thousand customers, which is what we did. I'm happy to kind of provide that. You can reach me at on LinkedIn, which is linkedin.com/in/hsamby, or just type in my name. And then on Twitter, it's the same handle as well. So more than happy to connect to you in either fashion and medium, and looking forward to kind of serving you as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Harpal.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of you tuning in today. We're always so excited to connect with you and introduce these amazing entrepreneurs to you. So be sure to head over to the website, check out the show notes, and connect with Harpal more. And we will see you on the next episode of How We Scaled. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.